Welcome to today's podcast. Really excited to have this guy on, Nick Arojo. So those of you guys logging in, be prepared for some really good information just to really talk about the industry and break things down. I can see you guys lining up in the chat. So make sure you post your questions, get those out there so that we can answer them throughout this show. We're live on YouTube, Facebook. We're on Minerva's Facebook. This podcast is brought to you by MinervaBeauty.com. This is a time where we need to think about our business, reinvent our business. Those are things that we're going to talk about in this podcast, and MinervaBeauty.com has jumped on board to not only bring this podcast to life. I mean, they've been sponsoring my podcast for over 5 years now, but, you know, they reached out and they said, I want to bring on some special guests. We're going to get involved and really just kind of help bring this, the best information that we can out there. So check out MinervaBeauty.com if you're looking to upgrade your salon furniture. They have unbelievable deals right now. Without saying anything else, I'm going to bring on Nick Arojo. A lot of you guys know Nick. I've had the pleasure to talk to Nick a few times to really talk salon, but usually it's in a weird back of a van on our way to the airport, or, you know, it's never been like a sit down like this. So I'm excited to really pick your brain, Nick Arojo, and really figure out where your head's at in this whole thing. So why don't you talk to everybody about, where you're at in the industry before this all happened. So let's talk about that first. I know you own salons in New York City. So why don't you just go ahead and give your intro?
Well, let's talk about where we were. You know, we have two schools, we have three salons, and obviously we have two lines of products, Arojo products and American Wave, the service and hair care.
Yeah.
2019 was a tough year from a, you know, school standpoint. The numbers were not as strong as I would have hoped. We had a little misstep there. We had a misstep as well with distribution, where we went into distribution with our products, and that kind of changed the face a little bit. We pulled away from that.
Yeah, because you were direct to consumer for a long time, right?
We were direct to hairdressing salons and direct to consumer. So we sell directly to salons. Yeah. We didn't go through distribution. In 2018, we kicked into distribution with our product. And in 2019, we decided that it wasn't the right path forward. So we pulled back. So 2019 was a learning year. We finished the year strong. You know, I'm obviously, as a businessman, I've got to focus on the business, the numbers, the process. We finished the year strong, and we started the year phenomenally well. We launched our new aesthetics program in our schools, and January, February, March, we're looking real good. So I was super excited, and I was in recovery mode from a, seemed to be a tough year, and my product business was growing, and my education was growing. Everything would started to turn into a growth. And then, of course, when March came along, the 16th of March, we shut everything down. If somebody would have said we'd been here today, 5 weeks ago, I'd have said no chance. Look at me. I've got like a fisherman's beard. Now I'm like all straggly. Yeah, straggly. I need to fix it all up. Yeah. So, you know, the state is, you know, all of our employees are furloughed. We've managed to now just get the online learning up for the cosmetology schools. So that's exciting, because that's progress. I've been working every day, still fulfilling my my consumer sales. So I've been in the office every day. You can see all the boxes behind me. I'm sat at my desk right now doing this. This is where I sit. It's chaos, but that's because I'm so busy. Right. And, you know, I've tried to really, you know, become vocal to make sure that people can hear about hairdressers, because we do need to get our businesses back. And obviously there's so much fear because of this virus, which is obviously cataclysmic. But I think that we've been focusing on trying to come up with solutions, not creating more problems, and trying to create a dialogue for the new the new salon, what the salon's going to look like, and what's it going to look like when we do get the chance to open, and then what's the intention as we move forward with that. So I do think, as we're all very logical and a lot of common sense, when we do get the chance to reopen, the idea would be open safely, smartly, and obviously your business is going to be different. So we're really in that holding pattern. And in that meantime, I've been working on what I call my client charter, which I'm sharing with hairdressers, which is something that we really should be administering in our salons, so that the clients know what that client charter is, and also, a team charter, so that the team know what the new rules and the new ways of operation are going to be. And I've been really trying to share that with as many people as possible, so that, you know, so that hopefully the politicians won't forget about us. And I've been avidly watching my governor, and I just saw him mention hairdressers for the very first time.
That's good.
So that's a good sign. And hopefully, you know, in the not too distant future, we'll be able to kick open our doors and get this business moving.
So let's talk about the client, what you're thinking about with the clients right now. As you go into that, can you go into a little depth with that?
Yeah. So the key thing is appointment only. Manage the client flow. Six feet, 8 feet between each chair. Shift work, less people everywhere, slightly longer hours so that we can accommodate. And the stylist has to be very aware of, you know, making sure that when they're there for the client, to greet the client, and they're there to let the client leave. We're looking for a more touchless, less interaction as possible, as less germ transfer as possible. And, we're starting a new association called the Professional Salon and Spa Association. So that I've seen so many hairdressers want to get involved. So really, this is going to be something that I'm going to continue to evolve with all of my hairdressing friends, and hopefully try to create an even stronger vision for us and a stronger voice. Because one of the things that we have seen is we've seen that restaurants, which are a big part of our daily lives, restaurants have been the topic. And obviously they have a lot of that on television, but really, are they really thinking about hairdressers? And that's what I've been trying to do, create awareness.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that, Minerva, they brought some guests up, people that they wanted to kind of have on the show, they thought would be a good voice. Your name did come up, but then when I was going through Facebook, I sent you a Facebook message late at night, I believe. I just saw the way that you were approaching your voice on your Instagram. And I thought it was different than a lot of people, where a lot of people are just kind of like, you know, it's a little more like rah-rah-ish, and you seemed more like a fighter, which I liked. So that's why I sent you the message. So I was like, I want to get Nick on here right away, because I just felt like you're in the middle of the hardest part of the country, right? Like, so you're really living it. So tell me about that, because I tell people what it's like in New York right now.
It's a ghost town. Yeah, it's empty. It's completely empty. You know, the good news is I'm living up in Westchester. I drive in, there's no traffic.
Okay, yeah, that's probably
nothing. Really nothing's weird. Open. You know, people and New York's very wealthy, especially downtown. So it's everyone's left to their country house.
Okay.
You know, that's what it's like. And there are things that are the only things that are open are CVS, Trader Joe's, maybe a corner deli. I see the delis closed. Some of them are reopening a little bit more now because they are selling food. But you know, the offices are quiet. No one's here. And I just don't know how long that's going to take before that rolls back up again, because it certainly isn't going to come back overnight. And they always say, when you open, it's going to be crazy. I say, no, we don't want it to be crazy. We want it to be calm. We want it to be relaxed. It's not going to be like what people think. I tell you, you may have a wave in the first week, but everyone has lost so much money that, yes, they want to get the haircut, but you might not see them again for another 10 weeks.
Yeah,
they got used to not going to the salon. And also, people don't want to go out. People don't want to go into places where these people. So, you know, with the new reality, we don't know what it's really, truly going to feel like. For me, as a business owner, you know, with a huge responsibility, I can't just sit back and, chill out with the kids. I've got to do something. So I'm trying to keep some pressure on myself with my community of hairdressers so that we can share good practices and learn from each other and then hopefully create a stronger unity because the world just changed. I started my business on September the 4th, 2001 on Spring Street. Spring Street is downtown. It's right at the right before Tribeca and right before where Soho ends, okay? So that was 18 years ago. Today, and after September the 11th, New York was a ghost town downtown, but Midtown was packed. Yeah, people could still operate and function. You just didn't go below 14th Street. So before below 14th Street was a ghost town. I lived right by the Twin Towers. I had nowhere to go. I had I just opened. I was renting a couple of chairs inside Nevada School. I had nowhere to go. So I went home to my apartment. I lived in an apartment building with 140 apartments. And the occupancy of the building was 10%. Yeah, it was a ghost town. After 4 months, by January, they slowly started to open up the city and you could see the life come back. I think this is a lot worse. So I've been through a big tragedy. This one is of a much bigger scale because we're all in it. We're all affected.
Yeah, it's not just area,
so many in one zone. Yeah, so who knows what it's going to be. You know, the cost of business here is exorbitant. Yeah. I've always said that, you know, the price is not in relationship to the cost of living. Yeah, really a single process in this town should be $250 to cover the cost of business, but you just can't compete. The consumer won't pay that.
Right.
So, I mean, some will, but, you know, you got to work on that. You got to build that. So we're already at a disadvantage. The question here is really get the machine open and let's see if we can do it. If we can't get the machine open or if it takes too long, how long can you sit there with no river flowing? The river stopped for hairdressing. All the river stopped.
Right.
Yeah. The river is the clientele. It's the liquid. It's the fluid. It's the money that flows through your business. Because we can't work from home and because of what we do, our river, our stream has dried up. So we need to kickstart that as soon as possible. But because New York is kind of the epicenter of the virus and how bad it is, you know, who knows when that's going to be. But like I said, the governor just mentioned New York. So maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe sooner. Definitely not going to be before March the 15th, May the 15th, but maybe May the 15th. Who knows? You know, right now I'm trying to push my charter forward so that they can look and say, hey, that makes sense. You only have 50% of the workforce. Appointment only, extended appointments, minimize all contact, masks for everybody, gloves when necessary, clean hands every second of every minute. And that's what we're pushing forward, and hopefully we'll get a chance to get back in business. On the school side, we started off with online learning with, you know, just theory and text, but now we're going to have to move into hands-on education.
Yeah.
So that's going to be another interesting learning curve. Problems and challenges that we have to overcome.
I'm really interested in that, obviously, because of doing online education and being in that world. How is that? So are the states being very accommodating with that online learning source, like to be able to give hours to students online?
You're in the yin and the yang. Ultimately, there's two different bodies. You have to get NACUS, which is the approval for your school, and then you have to get the Commission of Proprietary Private Schools, for-profit schools, BPPSS. So what happens is you get one check and then you get the next check, and it just takes a little bit of time. Yeah. And I don't everyone's trying to make it happen because everybody's been told to stay at home if you can.
Right.
So we're going to work through that. The nice thing is with technology, you know, we'll just dial into you and you can teach him. What about that?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I'm in. I'm in.
You got all the tools and all the gadgets.
For sure. Yeah. I can do live classes anytime, Nick.
I'm looking forward to it. I think that'd be fun too.
Yeah, for sure. And I think people can learn a lot online. Obviously, hands-on is so important, but you know, it's cool. I'm trying to look at the positive of all this in the way that I think a lot of companies are trying to figure out online and understanding the importance of it at this point. So that's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. But
well, everyone's going to be doing it. There's already quite a few doing it. The uptick in schools now is huge. I was out with my friends from Pivot Point. They've had an explosion. We work with Milady. They've had an explosion. Everybody's forced into online learning. Think about all those schools. I was on with my students on Zoom today. You know, this is going to be the, let's call it the new norm. And think about the reach that one can have. If education becomes online, maybe Arogio can become a national school.
Yeah,
for sure. Opposed to a fixed location. So I think that there'll be plenty of doors that can be opened as long as we get that river flow in, which keeps us all buoyant. Right. If the river doesn't get flowing, ultimately, things are going to crash and burn. A lot of businesses have already lost, you know. I mean, I have over 100 employees. Yep. I have bills for over 100 employees. And the concept, and I have three different businesses. So the concept is, let's do our best to try and get that river flowing again, and then figure out where we can win and what we can do. We will not know until we start. And then obviously we have to hope that we do not contribute to any more of an outbreak. And we have to hope the powers that be and everybody can continue to help in the safety of what we do, because we're high contact. We're not low contact. We're high contact. Yeah. We're on top of people.
Yeah. And that's what I was trying to say. Like I was saying it earlier on the podcast, with Gino earlier, it's social.
How is Gino? Social,
Gino's great. He's great. It was awesome. You know, talking to him, it was fun, being tech support prior to the interview. That was my favorite part.
Helping him.
Yes, for sure. But we were talking about social distancing, and the fact is, like, people are talking about spreading out the stations and all of that, which is a need. But at the same time, we're right there with our hands on another human being. So, you know, the precautions of obviously wearing gloves and masks and all that stuff. But, you know, there's so many things that, like, we have to look at, like pre-washing when clients come in. Like, they come in, you don't know. The virus can be on somebody's hair. It can be on their clothes. Like, it's not about, somebody was saying before, you know, we stand behind them, so it's better, but that doesn't really matter. It can be on their hair and the clothes and all of that. So we have to, not only as salons, keep the clients safe, but looking at stylists moving forward, what are you thinking on that?
This is what I'm not as, obviously there's a virus and obviously no one escaped it. And by social distancing, the concept has been mitigate the spread.
Yeah.
If there's nowhere for it to go, it'll slowly disappear. Not forever. Yeah. It's like the flu.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not living in fear of that, but ultra cautious.
Yeah.
Now, most of our clients, you think of yourself as a stylist in the salon, and I've been doing hair for 38 years. I trust my clients. I know my clients. They trust me. They know me. We're family. We're friends. Some are obviously way more friendlier than others. But, you know, it's not like we're opening the door to complete unknown people.
Right.
So based on that, the theory is, for me, my thought process is that I will be seeing my friends, and I'll expect my friends to not come if they're not well. They will be protecting me as much as they'll be protecting themselves. And I will make sure that we do our part in making sure there's a very clean and safe experience throughout the environment.
Nice.
I've been going to the post office every day. I've been going to the supermarket every day. So I've been going out. I've got two kids. I've been going out to the drive-thrus to get my burgers and whatever every day. I've been through this. I'm living in this. I do believe that we can continue to mitigate and reduce the spread We're moving into the warmer weather. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I can't live in fear. I'm not going to stay locked up in my house. I'm going to do what the authorities recommend, but I'm also going to be proactive in making sure that we have a life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said, if you don't have life, you can't have a livelihood. But if you don't have a livelihood, what kind of a life do you have?
Right. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, what's the most important thing in my world is my children. The most important thing in my world. Yeah. My family. I got to look after my family. I got to take care of them and I have to protect them. And then I've got all of my employees, all of my team, and I've got all of the students, and I have a responsibility to everybody. I have to carry that. Every owner carries that on their shoulders. And when the money dries up, it's like the money's dried up.
Yeah.
Now we got to get that money flowing again. So we have to do it in the safest and the smoothest possible. We can't go and hide for another 6 months. Do you know what the world's going to be like?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I mean, if New York doesn't start, I don't know what's going to happen because the cost, where's it going to come? I don't know. We don't have the ability to go and print money.
Yeah.
So we have to work, and we're responsible for the decisions that got us to here. Then this crisis came, changed the game for everything. Think about how much money I would make on advanced education. You know, tens of thousands of dollars have disappeared in a day, straight away. Yeah.
Yep.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars have disappeared. We've lost over $1 million of revenue. That's my stream of $1 million has gone within 4.5 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm waiting for it to rain.
What doesn't go away? Yeah, exactly. What doesn't go away is the rent and the mortgages, the leases, like all that stuff. It's that's what makes it so difficult because, you know, all that revenue goes, but there's things that people want on the other side of it, and that's what makes it tough.
You know, the rent is huge and the landlords want their money.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's the big challenge. You have the landlords and you have the cost of running a business. If your running costs are 10% and your business makes $1 million. Yeah. That means your running cost is $100,000. That's not your rent, but let's just say it's $100,000. Yeah. So where'd you get that $100,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. It comes from the liquid. There's nothing coming in. And what's going to happen in the future is all the unemployment that's being paid is from the employer's stamp. The hair business itself is a low profit business model.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, it's a low profit business model. So trying to make a profit now means that it's going to be very tough. So, but you know, if we don't get as soon as we get started, we'll know what the new reality looks like. Will more people come in? Will you get more hairdressers? I've already lost hairdressers.
Right.
Yeah, they run to the hills as soon as a tragedy happens. New York's filled with people that come from all over the country. It's their dream. Yeah. Live, work in New York City. They come. I had people come here. As soon as this happened, they were like, I'm bouncing back home.
Left,
same thing that happened on September the 11th. Now, will those people come back? Maybe.
Right.
But they've got to live too. Maybe they'll start a job somewhere else. They'll be doing stuff, you know, somewhere else. Who knows?
It is crazy to think about because, like, I moved 1,000 miles away from where I grew up to be near Philadelphia, to be, you know, in a more affluent area or whatever. And, you know, I'm sitting on a much higher rent. Like if I looked at, like, I'm not going home, but, you know, I could buy a house for $75,000 on an acre of land where I grew up, you know, and here it's, you know, $500,000 for that same house. So it's just it's a crazy thing. And you think about people that are in New York City, they're like, you know what? I'm going back to where I can take that money, that little bit of money that I have, and it'll go a lot further. That's a good point.
Sure.
You don't think about that. Donna's actually asking, how can they get involved in the mission you were talking about before the
well, we just started the website. Yeah. The website's not live yet, but it's about to get live. I will hope by early next week. You know, this is something that I definitely believe we're going to give as much life as possible to. We have a lot of people who are interested in getting connected and want to represent the profession. It's an association for hairdressers. And it's called the Professional Salon and Spa Association. Yep. And just stay connected. I do a Facebook Live every Thursday. So by next Thursday, my client charter will be on that website. And okay. Then we're going to slowly start. I've had a lot of people want to get involved. So we're going to slowly start to kickstart that. I also spoke to Minerva, my good friend Jeff, who I know you know. And yep, we just got some great furniture in. Because we in our school, we have a barbering program. So okay. We just kitted out and we got this whole new barbershop zone in our school in Tribeca. And they want to get involved. So it's going to be a bit of a grassroots movement. And I feel like there's a lot of impassioned people that want to get involved. And just stay connected to me and I'll slowly open up those steps. I'm a hairdresser, so I can, you know, do it in a way which hairdressers will understand. And it will be a committee. And then, I mean, the main focus of this will be advocacy and PR. PR for hairdressing and advocacy for law. So these are going to be big challenges, but we've got to do them.
Another, Michelle's saying that she watched your presentation on your live yesterday, and then she presented it to her senator in California. So
Nice. Yeah, so, I mean, this is happening a lot, and hopefully, like I say, I just heard the governor mention hairdressing in New York. So, you know, if they give us the ability to be open in the middle of May or maybe June, you know, and we were on a lighter schedule, looking at what the rules are, the guidelines are, because we, you know, at the end of the day, everyone's trying to move beyond and not do anything that's going to contribute to a flare up of this, this coronavirus.
For sure. Flora's saying, will our beautiful industry ever be the same? I think you kind of hit on that. But what's a little soundbite from you on that?
I think it will still have the same essence, but it will have a change. But you'll be as quickly as this thing happened and the world changed, if the virus continues to flatten, the quicker it will get back to normal. Yeah. And what gives me hope is instead of people saying, oh, it's not the new normal, I think the new normal is going to be normal, which is you don't have to wear a mask. You can hang out and have a drink with someone. Look at New York. It's filled with restaurants and bars and young people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not right now. It's not.
Right. Yeah. All right. And I think, Susan's saying, she's like, and I'm not sure if it's worth going back to work. I'm 61 and never had to do this in my life.
I think for someone that's 61, I'm 54. I'm not that far away. Yeah, I'm not that far away. It's hard to reinvent. But if you still have the love for cutting hair, I think you can still continue to exercise that love for cutting hair, doing hair. There will be a place for you, and everybody needs to get their hair done. There's been so many people wanting to get their hair done, but obviously it's impossible. So it's impossible. And we've not done the killer kits or any of that stuff. We just kind of kept we've just done exactly what we've been told.
Yeah, that's good. And this is a really interesting question. I don't know if you want to go there, but they're saying supercuts is a high wall clientele. Can you touch on how you think that would flow?
They're going to have to change it. If they're talking about high walk, what does that mean? It means that there's a walk in traffic.
I think high foot traffic. Yeah, I think that's what they're saying.
High foot traffic. Well, my business is a high foot traffic. Yeah.
Right.
But will those businesses really fully function at the beginning for the simple reason that, that it's such a low profit business that if you can only do so much business, it's got to be more expensive to pay the rents. You're going to see major fallout here, fallout. And if it stays for a long time, it'll send our industry underground. Yeah. Because it's something that you can practice at home. Yeah. Right. Well, I don't really want to be a kitchen stylist. Right. Yeah. But ultimately, if you can't get to work, you might end up being a kitchen stylist. Everybody's got hair. So if there's 330 million people in America, you got 330 million heads that you could potentially get. So you're going to have a lot of opportunity. But of course, you want to be safe. So the longer this goes on and the more the curve flattens and the less infections there are and the less intubations there are, then, you know, you'll start to get a sense of normalcy and confidence. And, you know, once people start eating in restaurants again and the salon starts again and you've all been there for a month and all of a sudden maybe not making that much money. You know, the question is how will companies survive if their overhead is so high?
Yeah.
That's going to be the issue.
Which is, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, there's so much talk. Like, so my salon is literally 4,000 square feet and four chairs because we do all online education and that's what funds our building, right? Our salon's just we kept it open and we wanted to, you know, keep our staff having jobs and we don't hire and, you know, but it's a small, but what happens is when the stylists are out of work, companies stop supporting companies like mine, right? So like it all trickles down
of the manufacturers.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I think they've been pretty quiet, and I think they've been too quiet personally. That's another reason why we're doing this association, that concept.
Yeah.
The manufacturers themselves, you know, I'm a manufacturer. I sell product to salons. I have 400 salons across America that carry a Roadshow product. Yeah. Yep. Well, right now they're all closed, and they've been closed for 4 weeks. Yep. So I don't sell any products to any salons.
Right.
Yeah, and that is obviously a major cash. Think about that if you're a L'Oreal, a Weller. Look at the changes. Yep. Look at the new companies that are, you know, making brands right now. There's going to be a shakeout. There's going to definitely be a shakeout, yeah?
For sure.
I mean, good news is, Matt Beck, you're ahead of the curve, baby, because you got like this digital concept, which has been fantastic, and it's been great watching it develop, evolve, grow, and obviously get better. And it's something that we've all been pointing, we've been forced to point in that direction because we're moving into a much more digitized world. Now we're being told, stay at home, work at home. That's what we're being told. So, you know, and if we've got any, I mean, I got an office here. It's a 2,000 square foot room. There's 18 chairs here, 18 people. And, you know, they won't be all back anytime soon. They'll be working remotely as much as possible, and you know, then I don't need this space. And so then you got to look at that and say, okay, but there's so many challenges that I have to overcome that I'm trying to do my best to tackle them and stay positive and push forward as best as possible.
For sure. Is there anything else you want to put out there? I feel like you put out a lot of great information and really opened up. I appreciate that.
Every hairdresser knows people in the government, yeah? And everyone has an opinion, yeah? We have to make sure that our industry is not brushed under the table. If a donut shop can be open, then maybe a licensed profession can be open, like hairdressing. Of course, we're not stupid. And we have to practice incredible safety and, you know, hygiene standards. But life has to go on. So if anybody knows anybody, definitely have your politician talk about that. Talk to your politician and let's see what happens. When the salon opens in the first state and they see how that works and there's no spike, it'll have a knock-on effect. And we can slowly turn that dimmer on, but maybe that dimmer can be turned on much quicker. And that's what we're all hoping for. I'm looking forward to the time when New York City has traffic again, when New York City has people that are not just panhandlers, where there's maybe people that are not just sleeping in corners. I'm looking forward to New York kickstarting itself. But I unfortunately think that's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm hoping more than ever that it will come back as soon and as safely as possible. I just want to thank everybody for their support, you know, and if people want to stay connected to me, I do a Facebook Live every Thursday. It's at 10 o'clock. I call it Brooklyn Live. I've been doing it for four years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started that a long time ago on Facebook Live. I continue to do it and I'm using that because I can't do clients right now. And I did a mannequin, but I don't get the same pleasure or love out of that. And I think because now it's more about the business side, you know, I'm focusing very much all of my energy on the business strategy and also how we can hopefully, you know, have a more systematic plan collectively together, because I do believe in teamwork, and I do believe that, you know, collectively we have a stronger voice than if it's one individual.
For sure. I was saying to somebody yesterday that I, as soon as I found out that this was all happening, I ordered $1,000 worth of Pivot Point mannequin heads, because I knew I was going to need them, and I didn't know if they would be open. And like, and I was saying to them, like, I might want that $1,000 back sometime, but I'm like very excited. So I've been busting out like three.
A lot of haircuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're still shipping. Yeah.
Oh yeah. They're still shipping. So
yeah, cool. They're still shipping. Plenty of business. There's a lot of business that's still going. We unfortunately in a business that we had to stop completely. And we're also in a business, because we're street level, it's expensive. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I think 6 months from now, we'll see where it shakes out. If we survive the year, then next year might be really phenomenal.
Well, Nick, good luck with everything. And everybody be on the lookout. Follow Nick's stuff, the Professional Salon and Spa Association. If you need any help with anything, let me know. I'm here. So
thank you very much. And it has been a pleasure hanging out with you.
For sure. I appreciate it. Good luck. And I'll see you soon. All right. All right, guys. Nick Arojo. Hope you guys are enjoying all these podcasts. I really love the chance to talk to all these people that are just obviously in it. I mean, that goes to show right there. Nick's in Manhattan. I'm in New Hope, PA. Like, it doesn't matter. We're all going through the same stuff at different scales, maybe, but it's the same situation. With you guys. So take care of yourselves. Obviously, keep that social distance until we're allowed. Obviously, don't break the rules. There's no reason to do it. And the more we break the rules, the more it prolongs all of this and keeps us out of work. So guys, I think that's pretty much it. If you guys have any questions after the show, post them in the comments. Also, thank you to MinervaBeauty.com for being such a great sponsor of the podcast. I really appreciate them. They've been a sponsor of this podcast way before this crisis thing happened. But it was, you know, them that reached out and said, let's start really pumping out some crisis series, crisis relief stuff so that, you know, we could just bring information to you guys. So I hope you're enjoying it. I'm glad that I get to see a lot of that in the comments. And we're going to keep it going. I got a podcast coming up on Monday and Tuesday with more guests. We'll announce that later. So follow us at Free Salon Education on social and at Minerva Beauty on social. And that's it. Thanks for watching, guys. And I'll see you on the next one. Thanks.